Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
On this podcast, it's just a place where we learn what it means to be fully human, don't you think, sister?
Mm-hmm.
We love and we celebrate other podcasts that explore kind of the tricks and the tips of motherhood. The ones who have researched the best brands for diapers and bottles. But we set out to kind of further that conversation and ask, how do we be better moms and better humans? What makes us come alive? What pokes our mama bear to bring about ripples of justice, love, and compassion? On Mondays, we get to interview women who are creating these beautiful ripples in so many different ways. They're inspiring those around them, not because they're in the newest blockbuster, but because they move through the world with intention and passion and love.
Mm-hmm.
Today is one of those women. She is just incredible. We just keep talking about how fun she is, right? We give you our conversation with Nikki Schultz. She's an international presenter and group fitness star who inspires women to just live lives of passion and movement.
Oh, I am captivated by Nikki. I've been so looking forward to this interview dropping. I said it a couple of times in the podcast, but I just was so inspired by her and captivated by her. There is just something so incredible about a woman who is just on fire like she is. She doesn't just talk about being healthy and getting healthy because she just clearly is someone who's healthy,
on
the inside and the outside. And she just lives this way. And, you know, I hadn't met her before.
Right.
We just sat with her for a couple of hours when we were in Chicago. But you could just tell she truly lives out her mission and her message.
Yes.
So we want to point out in this conversation that we talk about this idea of how to make our inner five-year-old proud, and it becomes this really fascinating thread that, you know, in order for Nikki to just live out all of her great energy, she asks herself, you know, would my five-year-old self be okay with what I'm doing? What would she respond, or how would she respond? And I loved this idea. I was kind of hooked into it, and I thought it would be really fun just to sort of check in and see, would my inner five-year-old be proud of me? Listeners, what would your inner five-year-old self say about you? My five-year-old self, I can recall, she was into books for sure, really shy, love stories, really curious. And I don't know, I can't help but to just look back at that little girl and think, you know, I think she'd be proud of what I'm doing today. And that's a really wonderful recognition if you can go back and check in with your inner five-year-old.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was a small thread, but I thought it was really, really cool.
I know, we had so much fun with that. And I did the same thing. Obviously, what do you remember of your five-year-old and what is just people told you about your five-year-old? But really, we're just talking about that first, you know, that first version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, what was she like? And I think the same thing. Like, I think my five-year-old would be really proud. She was running outside. She was getting a little bit dirty. She also loved talking to people and being around people. She loved books and stories and writing. She loved nurturing her tiny little brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at it and it's like, oh, when I'm most happy, I'm doing these things too, except for as an adult, right?
Right.
And I just thought this was such a fun litmus test for life. Even though being adults, there's like some nuance there. But I really do think it's kind of a great way to check in with who you really are or who you were before the world told you who you are, right?
Oh, I love that. You made that point in the podcast, and I thought it was great. So, yeah, we know that this conversation with Nikki, it touched us at many different points, many different levels, and I think it's really going to resonate with listeners as well. You know, what does it mean to be a woman in this world? How do we celebrate other women, especially in a highly competitive field like Nikki's in?
Mm-hmm.
How do we overcome setbacks and hurdles to press on in the pursuit of our dreams?
Mm-hmm.
These are all questions we touch on. We touch on what does it look like to serve you in your inner circle first and then have that energy to go out and ripple all of that love into the larger world.
Yeah. Oh, we talk about that and so much more. as someone who has watched Nikki juggle all of this with grace and determination, that was actually the first time I met her as well. But we've since talked on the phone before because she's developing some really cool things that I'm really excited about for her and for the world. And there was just, she and I just had a connection. We are just women who just love ideas. You would have been like you, same for you, right? That's why we loved her, because she was one of us. And she's building a website with her girlfriend that is going to be incredible. We're going to link to it, of course. But for now, I just want to encourage our listeners to go to her social media pages. Even for you, as someone who does not like group fitness, you have been inspired by her posts, right?
I love her Instagram feed. It's like my favorite. It really is.
Exactly. I just, even though I'm in the fitness industry myself, I understand that it's really hard for the average person who isn't obsessed with fitness, but likes to be healthy or wants to be healthy, to find Instagram feeds or Facebook pages where the person isn't touting like a life obsessed with eating the right thing or daily workouts. And Nikki's just isn't like that. It's clear she loves working out, right? She's a very fit person, but it's also clear she loves snuggling her pets and is in love with the life that she's built with her partner, Joanne. She's just got some awesome stuff going on. And I think our listeners, we've had feedback like, I want to know more about health. I want to know more about fitness. I want to know more about how to kind of serve that part of my mama bear. She's going to be such a great place to start.
Yeah. And we've gotten feedback before that our introductions, like sometimes we're just over the top, like excited about our guests, but I don't know.
I don't care.
I'm sorry.
That's right. And you won't be either. You guys, she's amazing. I can't wait for you to follow her and see why we're this geeked about it. But for now, let's just hear from Nikki Schultz.
Let's do it.
Nikki Schultz is a national trainer, an international presenter, a group fitness maven, and an inspiration to thousands of people around the world. Nikki uses her platform, her body, and her voice to motivate those of us who watch her move about the world to appreciate our own bodies and all that they are capable of. We are so excited to welcome Nikki onto the podcast. So Nikki, welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast.
Welcome. Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, why don't we start by you just telling us a bit about where you grew up and also if you were always an active child.
For sure. So I grew up in Roy, Utah. So that was where I was born and raised my entire life. My family and I, we moved approximately 6 times, but my mom and dad would never move out of Roy, Utah. So that's just where I was
just
born and bred.
Explore the different neighborhoods.
Yes. Different streets. Actually, the house next door we moved into once.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like my nightmare. I hate moving.
Yes. And
so, yeah. I think it sounds great. The decorator in me is just like, I want a clean slate. Like, let's just give me a blank canvas.
How big is Roy, Utah?
Roy, Utah? Oh, I don't even know. It's quite small. I mean, if you think of Utah is like the Wasatch Front, so it's everywhere. It's about 50 miles of just community connected to the mountain range, and Roy's just one of those little dots out of there.
Yeah.
So, yes, actually, a lot of dancers have come out of Roy, Utah.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of
that.
People that have actually been on So You Think You Can Dance and won.
Who?
Oh my gosh, now you're... Don't say who. I am horrible with
remember,
names.
I can edit this. This is fine. I love that show.
Yeah, but there was a girl that... Oh, goodness, I can't... What's her name? Haley. Haley, who kind of has the same haircut as me.
Yeah.
She's actually from Roy, Utah. And I was teaching a body jam class one time. I came back like a year ago teaching body jam. This girl comes up to me and she goes, "Oh my God, you remind me so much of my best friend." I'm like, "Oh, cool." She goes, "Well, she was the finalist on So You Think You Can Dance." And I was like, "Oh my God, Haley?"
Yeah, we're talking about the same one.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I somehow have like a weird twin or something.
Right,
like that.
And there's
but
something
yeah, it was
about,
really,
like,
there's something in the water.
Yeah, it really came
from Roy. And that is fascinating.
Yeah.
I want to visit, for sure.
I can bottle up some tap water and bring it back
you
for
should.
You.
We could both explore new avenues in our dance movements. We have kind of
this
the same
is true.
Things.
Oh,
we could
this
be,
is true.
We could both afford
for sure. Yeah.
You will lose.
Oh, that's awesome. So you live in Chicago, though, now.
Yes.
So what made you decide decide to move here? What happened? You left Roy. It sounds amazing. I don't know why you would do such a thing, but here you are in Chicago.
You never know if I'll end up back there again. But for now, you know, I grew up dancing, and then I got more into the fitness industry. And I had this, I love Les Mills, and I was teaching a bunch of classes, and I wanted to become more of a trainer. And there was actually an opening out here in Chicago. So I moved out here to hopefully be able to grasp that opportunity. Wow. And before that, though, I actually met my partner. And my partner, Joanne, I met her on a Jillian Michaels wellness cruise.
What?
On a cruise? Yes. In the middle of the ocean with my mom and one of my best friends. And yes. And before then, yes, I went through the whole, lived the Utah life. I was, grew up going to church and was married for 4 years.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and then I was just coming to myself, and everything just felt like something was missing. Mm. And so I went on to this boat to actually help my mom get herself up and going and just feeling good about herself. She has an autoimmune disorder. So it's not lupus, it's not MS, it's somewhere in the middle right there. So I took her on that, and in that, it was 80s night, and I was dressed as, yes, I was dressed as like, kind of like Bret Michaels with like a crop top and like a big black wig with a bandana around
amazing. And
an inflatable guitar. And I was on this whole kick of doing things differently than I've ever done before.
Yeah.
And in that, there was this girl sitting by herself. Now, she always tells me she wasn't eating alone. She chose to do that. She's very secure with herself. And I went up and I said, hey, do you want to come eat with my mom and my friend and I? And it was actually Joanne. And that's how we met. And it's just crazy how one little thing like that, it was so out of character for me to do that.
Yeah.
Even to just go up and ask somebody, hey, do you want to eat lunch with us? Like, I was just, showed me how closed off I kind of was.
Yeah.
And that one moment literally changed my life.
Wow.
And then from there, randomly, I got the job opportunity, and they said Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was living here.
Yep, Joanne, she's from here.
Oh, okay.
But you met in the middle of the ocean.
We met in the middle of the ocean.
On 80s night.
Yes, on 80s night. She was wearing terry cloth shorts.
Oh my gosh.
Green, like crayon green, with a yellow headband around her head. And yes, and this Sunday is our fifth anniversary.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's been great.
An 80s night where I went to college in Iowa City, and I feel like they really missed an opportunity because it was really all about the music, which was great, but there was no costume involved. So anyway,
yeah.
You know, we have talked before about how like a really strong foundation really allows you to explore whatever else. So even though you ended up leaving Roy, and really, like, it sounds like just this lifestyle that you had thought was right within your soul, but then you're like, no, you know, you feel that friction.
Yes.
It's still, like, growing up the way you did and support in the way you did had to give you enough to make you feel like you could venture out. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's still pretty incredible.
Yes. You know, I'll always look at where I grew up as I learned so many of the values that I have as a person and just humanity and just being a caring, empathetic person. Like, I have all of those. And then also it taught me how to work hard, you know? So, and those are things that even though my life looks like, if you looked at it, that I've done like a total 360, actually I have not at all. And I am still that exact same girl that was in Utah. And I always say, like, I'm so thankful for the fact that she was the strong one.
Yeah.
Because when everything didn't feel right, like, there was this little glimmer of hope that I didn't even know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so stinking scary to try to even think about how to even go about that. But it was just baby steps.
Yeah.
Just baby steps and trusting myself.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, trust your journey. Like, that's my big motto. And that culmination of, like, from 5 years to, like, where I was, I still feel very connected to that girl.
Uh-huh.
But yet, I know she would be proud of me.
Yeah.
Super proud of me. So
that's really amazing. And so did the trust your journey. Do you think that's something whether or not you were saying it as kind of this personal mantra or not, like, is that something you always felt. Like, you were comfortable walking through the world as who you are?
You know, I was... My mom has been somebody always that has been so great of, like, no judgment, and grew me up to just be who I was meant to be. And she saw that and would help me blossom that. So It was learning that from when I was little. And I always look back, and every decision that I make, I always ask myself, would that 3 or 5 year old version of me be proud of me? Because that was before I knew anything.
I only knew,
like, I loved my family, I loved to dance, I loved to chase my little brother and put bows in his hair. I loved my dogs. I loved to nap. And I loved to eat. And I'm basically that exact same person.
Good for you. So I think that's a great exercise, too. Of just, like, listeners, ask yourself, like, who were you when you were 5? What did you love? And does that stand up today to the life that you're living? I think that's really pretty profound, actually. Simple, but...
Totally.
Quite meaningful.
Well, and even, I mean, because the world, right, affects you as an adult, but it just doesn't as a kid. Like, it just does not affect you as a kid. So I think that's the other beautiful piece to that is you don't know what it means to, like, have the world affect what you believe and what you only know what you're listening, because you know how to trust your gut as a kid. That's really all you go on and what your mom tells you to do, you know? So I like that piece too, because then as an adult, it's essential that you listen to your gut. It's just that so often we let the other stuff get in the way of that and allow it to be louder, you know? Yeah. So to shift a little bit, we've talked on the podcast before about how hard it is to, like, you built your life in Roy and then you uprooted it. And even though Joanna was in Chicago, none of your friends were, none of that was. Like, talk about that transition a little bit.
Do you like that? Yeah. So you take this leap and you think, I thought, you know, God, you're just going to, like, take me and shoot me into this, like, into Chicago.
Chicago.
I'm going to end up, like, Chicago, teaching, like, Janet Jackson, teaching Les Mills, like, 500 people in each class. And I was just going to have it made. I was going to have the house that I wanted. And and then reality hit. And I ended up living in Downers Grove.
Okay.
Which is not quite Chicago.
Yes, but
it's a suburb of Chicago, so it's about 45 minutes outside of Chicago. And luckily, like, that's where Joanne lived, so I was able to move in there, and she was so great. She went and helped me, you know, and when you have your inner circle, you know, I have my inner circle of people. And before, like, we were even together, she was somebody that she's just so selfless, and just, she was like, I'm going to reach out to all these gyms, turn in your resume. She made me the most professional resume.
That's awesome.
With, like, headshots and all this fancy stuff, and turned it into all of these gyms. Well, I was looking for somewhere to teach Body Attack, which is a Les Mills program, and there was only one gym, and not in Chicago, but even in the suburbs, like, around where we were, that even taught it. And it was at the Lockport Park District. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
You're like, I'm going to the city. Like,
And it was like, I saw where Chicago was, and I saw where Lockport was. And I remember driving to this little town. I'm driving in my car, and the GPS says I'm 0.1 miles away, and all that there are is, like, fields, really old homes, and a cemetery.
Oh, no.
And I'm like,
oh, no.
Is this some gym in a lady's, like, basement or something?
Oh,
and then I started getting really nervous. Well, I pull up to this park district, and the first thing I do is I walk in, and the girl at the front desk says, oh, you're here for Body Attack? Okay, well, you're going to go through that door, and once you walk to the end of the tennis court, you're going to hit a tarp. And when you hit the tarp, turn left. And then you're going to look into a racquetball room, and that's where Body Attack's taught. And I was like, kind of wanted to be like Beyonce and be like, yeah, no, I'm going to go. But something, like, pushed, literally, I felt like it pushed me down there. And I walked down, and I remember looking through this little, it was like a prison door.
Oh,
like,
if you've seen a racquetball.
And I look in, and I'm like, uh-uh, mm-mm, no. Nick, I used to teach to like 75 people in body attack in a big gold gym in Utah. Mm. And I was like, no. So there and behold, I ended up at the Lockport Park District for 4 years. Wow. And to say the least, that racquetball court was hands down the thing that, like, totally changed my life.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm, like, getting emotional. No, but
how is it possible?
Yeah, but when you feel like God's like, okay, we're aiming for Chicago, right? Okay, on three. 1, 2, 3. And it hit Lockport.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I remember walking in. So I go in to teach and shadow with this other girl named Jenny. And everybody's super, super sweet. But yet, I'm me. And I'm loud. And I've got funky, like, multicolored hair that's kind of faux-hawked. Like, Lockport has not ready for that. I walked in. And they were like, okay. And I guess I made everybody scared because I wink a lot when I teach. And so they were very confused at what was really going on there. And I didn't even know that I did it. So after, somebody comes up to me and they said, you were on that boat.
What?
And I went, what? She goes, yeah, you were on that Jillian Michaels cruise. And I was like, what are you even talking about? So I guess I had come once before then, and these girls had seen me, and they were like, no, like, this chick that was on the boat was in body attack today. And everybody's like, no, she's not. So finally, like, they encountered me about it. But one of our friends, Laura, was actually on the boat. And yeah, when I was on there, I ended up winning the strong woman competition. And Jillian Michaels was all yelling in my ear and stuff. I could take it. It was like a dream come true.
Yeah.
The picture of me, I'm holding a static squat for 5 minutes, and she's yelling at me, but I've got this, like,
Zen.
This, like, smirk on my face. Like, really, I've been waiting for this for so long. But Laura, like, our friend. Laura, my friend, actually said, you know, you won some shoes, but I didn't know anything about who she was. That's so it's like, sweet. Got my shoes, and later on, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that was you. So we ended up, that's where I ended up, my home was the Lockport Park District called Challenge Fitness. And
what? Like, what do you make of that? Yeah, like, how do you explain that? Or like, what?
I don't even know. It's beyond me. Huh. And it's sometimes you just gotta go, you know, it's like, let it be. Yeah. And this, just know that it's meant to be. Mm. And there were, within that gym, there were four of us that didn't know each other, that were all on that same boat, and we ended up all in that same place, all from different parts of the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they became your tribe, like, over time. Wow. I mean, did it stay in the racquetball court? Like, or did it expand? Did you? I'm just,
the racquetball court's still there. So the biggest classes we can teach in there were about 15 people.
Wow.
In body pump, and it was just a different feel of what I was used to.
But you get closer to people when that happens. Oh, yes. That's the thing.
And that was the big thing.
Community quicker.
I learned was from being in Utah, it was just so much energy, and it was so big and so massive. And then being in Lockport, it was women that would wear baggy t-shirts and their husband or son's basketball shorts to come work out in, because they didn't feel comfortable dressing that way. And so it was just, over time, just taking that down from myself. I had to come to their level and really help them with who they were. And that changed over time. And we attracted more and more people. And then that's when I eventually started my own small group training business, which was called Fit Club. And I started off with those five, my tribe. Uh-huh. I basically had to pay them to work, train
course,
with me.
That's how it all starts.
Because they were slightly afraid of me. Yeah, slightly is a, I'm under well, right. in that word. Yeah. It was extremely afraid of me. And I got them to train with me, and it was like, I ran it like an 8-week program, you know, did the whole, we did the body fat, all of that. And it was more beyond that, you know, of it course, was more of just getting them to encounter that and see what kind of feelings that brought up.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't my whole purpose was to get them on a scale and get them to have this breakdown moment and then build them back up, you know, but get them to understand, what are these feelings? Like, if you're feeling a certain way right now, why is that? Mm-hmm. And over the 8 weeks, just helping them, not just through fitness, but being proud of themselves, walking around without makeup on and doing more challenges like that. Mm-hmm. And getting us to just build that tribe together as supporting each other.
Yeah.
And then those things happen. Yeah, we lost weight. And some of our girls has lost over 1,000 pounds. 100 pounds. But
both remarkable.
Both remarkable. But I'm kind of exaggerating again. Yeah. So we're going to bring it back down. But yes, she lost over 100 pounds and a lot within there. But, and that grew and grew. So when you said, did it get bigger than the racquetball court? Yes, it did. We moved to the tennis court. And our fit club group started with 5 of us that were mainly just instructors and 2 girls that were not. And that grew to 10, and that grew to 20, and that grew to 30. And by the time I ended up leaving it, it was 60 people strong participating in this every 8 weeks. And it's still running this till today. Like, they still are running it. And I was able to bring on not just myself, but be able to take my program. And then we added in Grit. Mm-hmm. So we brought in Grit, and I was able to actually train all of the coaches and my tribe. Those 5 girls that went through it with me, majority of them ended up being coaches for it.
Oh, that's so cool.
So Grit is another Les Mills program.
Yes. So then it was, I didn't have to come up with the workout anymore.
Yeah.
I had more of a system that I knew in and out so I could manage it. And then they were able to take that product out to more people.
Yeah.
And that's how I knew I can't keep touching physically one-on-one 60-plus people in that realm.
Yeah.
You know, I needed more people. So it was about one coach to six people.
Yeah.
So what's interesting to me, because I'm not really a part of the group fitness culture by any stretch of the imagination, actually, but...
You went to one of my classes.
I've been to a body pump.
Body pump, maybe,
Maybe 2, but I like to be alone when I work out. But anyway, what I don't want listeners to just lose in this conversation is that if you are new in a community, I mean, you spoke about this a little bit, just your gym is a great place to find people, even if you show up in like an old detasseling t-shirt like I used to do, you know, and not just because it's a, you know, a good thing to do to move your body, but you really, like you're saying, when you're training people and working with people, it goes beyond the physical. So talk a little bit just about that process of paying attention to the physical part of yourself, but also sort of that more spiritual side.
For sure. So with being with the, I'll keep going with the group when I was in Lockport, you know, it was like, yes, we wanted to get fitter. Yes, people wanted to lose weight. And it was not always pretty getting them to pull back from that, because that wasn't my why of why I wanted to train people. And it was more to help build those connections with each other and be able to be supportive of each other. You know, supportive through the hard times and supportive through the good times, and be able to do that within working out. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're working out, it's one of those things that forces you to feel things. Mm-hmm. You feel things. You either feel that you don't like it, or you feel that you do enjoy it, but you start hearing like an internal voice going on in your head. And my whole purpose was to help change that voice by doing these HIIT workouts, so high intensity interval training workouts, because what it would do is everybody would feel good to a point, and then that negative voice started coming in. And what happens when that negative voice starts coming in? What is it saying to you? And how are you responding to that and conditioning ourselves to react to that, but change it.
Right.
And then we did a lot outside of the gym too. You know, we did something where we wrote on our mirror. We wrote, "I can, I will." And then it was just you taking a selfie mm-hmm. of yourself without makeup on and repeating it out loud until you truly felt something mm-hmm. from it. So we would do a bunch of different things outside of the gym yeah. just to help that. And it was emotional for yeah, a lot of people because it's not always the easiest
yeah.
to confront that.
Yeah. I think that's what, you know, is great about being a part of a healthy community, and meaning not just physical health again, but just being in this safe place for you to work on yourself as an individual, but be journeying together. Mm-hmm. There really is something so powerful about that.
Mm-hmm. You're not in it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're all going that direction too. And instead of too just focusing on ourselves, like focusing on other people as well and supporting them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be a tough road if the only person that you ever think about is supporting yourself.
Right.
But we need that. But sometimes you don't know how to do that yet. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, it can happen easier focusing that on other people. And then it's reciprocal. You see them start to do it, and then you learn from it as well. Because mm-hmm. I would say me, leading from the top, I'm very much a type A personality and very much like to be in control. And I think I know what I want, but I can't force that onto anybody.
Right.
I can help guide you and give you the tools that I believe in, but I can't, like, force it down your throat and make mm-hmm. you change. So by doing that, it was very eye-opening because you learn a lot about yourself, mm-hmm. too. And you get challenged by people as well because they're not always going to respond the way that you want.
Right.
And then I need to look back at myself in the mirror and go, okay, no, what is it about me that's not connecting with that person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And try to help them work through that.
Right.
So I really love like the kind of like the psychology behind mm-hmm. like exercise. And I'm not in that field, but I'm very much intrigued by it.
Right.
Oh, anyone who's been a personal trainer, I mean, you are a psychologist. Like there's something about when physical exertion happens, like mental and spiritual vomit also happens.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because I will never get over how shocked I consistently am by clients or somebody just bawling when we're working out, and I tell them to give me two more and they just start bawling. I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
And then it's something so random and nothing about working out, but it does bring you to this. When they go to failure physically, it's like it reminds you of where you went to failure spiritually, mentally, mm-hmm. emotionally. And I think that's one of the reasons people avoid physical activity, honestly, mm-hmm. because it does make you really come face to face with some things that are just a lot easier. It's a lot easier to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about working out that makes you, I mean, that's one of the reasons you love running, because you mm-hmm. love to get the mechanism and just
yeah,
like
just the meditative sort mm. of
yes
of it.
And that actually can happen in a group fitness as well. but people don't realize that, and then or if they're not ready to see those demons, or if they're not ready mm-hmm. to address them, that's usually when they're just like, nope,
yes.
I'm out.
It's
I'm
very
out.
Much like fight or flight.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah, and they're, and then no matter what you say as a trainer or as an instructor, we'll get them there because, like you said, I can give you the tools. I just can't do the work for
mm-hmm.
you, you know. And unfortunately, and let's get into that more later. I want to back up a little bit because I'm curious if you mentioned that you've always loved dancing, but have you always? When did fitness become less something you did for fun and mm-hmm. more like you're like, this is what I was meant to do?
Yeah. So it was, I went from dancing to working at the gym, and it was just baby steps. You know, you think like, oh yeah, I really like this fitness stuff. I'm going to make it a career. Well, it's very tough mm-hmm. at the same time as well to work yourself up with that. So it was that switch, you know, it was, I didn't complete college. I didn't go through the normal steps mm-hmm. that you think people take mm-hmm. and to get to where I am. And it was me just working my way up from working at the front desk to teaching group fitness classes to networking with people to be able to take that networking and making friendships and then saying, hey, can you personal train me? Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, yeah, I have wanted to be a trainer. Going through that process, and then I got totally booked up with my personal training clients and found out that that wasn't the place that I thrived the most. It actually was very draining for me. So I started group training, which like brought me life, you know? So I know that where my strengths are is more in like in a group setting or in a big setting, being able to convey the message and be able to support them in the correct way. Mm-hmm. Because you can lean them too onto each other and create more of that spider web of connection mm-hmm. within that. So yes, that's where I started with that. And then I built up my career from there into becoming a trainer for mm-hmm. Les Mills. And yeah, onward and upward, that's kind of where it's went. But
how long ago was that then?
I've been a trainer for Les Mills now for almost 4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just for our listeners who aren't familiar, can you just talk a little bit about Les Mills and like if the unique philosophy of the work you do, maybe?
Yes. So Les Mills, it's a global fitness company, and we have multiple different programs. So we have everything if they like to do strength training. We have Body Pump, which is a barbell workout. And then we have from dance programs to Body Jam, which is more of a hip hop and house dance, to Shabam, where the whole tagline is come as you are, leave as a star. Where if you're not a dancer, it's the one workout that's just like highly encouraged and you just leave with a huge smile on your face. So we cater to so many different types of people. And within that too, we have certified instructors that teach at clubs that license our programs. Okay. So within that, you get like quality and consistency. Mm-hmm. So if you went and took a body pump class in China, mm-hmm. besides the language barrier,
right.
it's going to be exactly right. the same
okay.
if you came and took a class from me.
Sure.
So it's got that quality assurance behind it. And now I'm more of a group fitness manager, and it makes a lot of sense to have, we're not all Les Mills, but being able to have those programs in there because it's easier to manage as a group fitness manager mm-hmm. and make sure that the quality of your programming is consistent
okay.
across the board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're out of New Zealand too. Yep. So when we said she was an international presenter, mm-hmm. she'll often fly to New Zealand to present these programs. So speaking of Les Mills, interestingly, I remember you from a quarterly, which is obviously done every quarter. Les Mills does this. Originally, it was for the instructors to kind of get better and mm-hmm. be inspired by you trainers. But this was years ago. I don't even remember. It had to be close to when you moved here, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. But I remember you because you were in the audience. You weren't up on stage. And you had this awesome hair. And I had went from really long hair, and I had done like a bob because I wanted like a pink hairstyle. But mm-hmm. I was a little nervous about going straight for it. And then my husband's like, come check this chick's hair out. Like, you're going to love it. You just need to go for it. And then, I'm obsessed with Body Jam, which is one of, but you're an incredible dancer, obviously. And so my friends and I are like, yeah, I don't know who that is, but we're going to go behind her. We're just going to do what she's doing. And then we'll pretend like we look exactly like that. So I remembered you from then. And then, but again, you weren't a presenter. And then all of a sudden it felt like that. To me, but then you were on one of the DVDs, and I was like, wait, I remember her.
Yeah.
I know that hair. So that was so cool. And I feel like that was, I don't know, you were zoned in, you know, like some of us, my group, we brought our husbands, we snuck drinks, you know, I mean, yeah. It was like total casual because they mm-hmm. weren't, but you were zoned. And I'm wondering if, because that probably was 5-something years ago. Was that when you were like, this is my mission, I'm going to be up on that stage? Like, were you in it?
Yes. You know, yeah. I've dreamt about, especially becoming a Body Jam presenter for, that's what I kind of started doing Les Mills for, is because I had this goal. I was always grew up dancing competitively. I took a Body Jam class and fell in love with it. And I'm like, I'm going to do what this guy's doing one day. And yes, from there, I never let my sights get off of that. And then I found out, you know, it was about 5 years later until I was actually brought on to the team as mm-hmm. a presenter mm-hmm. and went through the entire process.
Yeah.
So you have to do advanced training. So 2 advanced trainings and then get an elite outcome and then get invited to boot camp. and then they pick people from there.
Wow.
So I did get brought on as a Body Jam presenter, but ironically enough, the first DVD that I ever did was for Grit, which was hit, and people were like, wait, the dancer chick?
Yeah.
She got fit.
Yeah. You transitioned just fine. But I think that's what I want our listeners to hear, because they won't understand the subtleties of what that means to go mm-hmm. from just someone who's out in the audience to someone who is on the DVD. But, like, what I hope that they hear you say is just that, like, you kept your eyes on the prize.
Yes.
I mean, there are, for those of us in the culture, there are millions of instructors who are like, oh, I'd love to be a trainer, or oh, I'd love to be on the DVDs, but they don't do what it takes, or they don't, you know, pour themselves into it. Mm-hmm. And you really did. I mean, I don't want it. That's a hard thing, but it's pretty clear that you stayed focused and that's what you went for,
yes.
right? That was your plan.
And you talked earlier about just having that foundation of working really hard and mm-hmm. that being of value to you and your family. When you were kind of going for this, when you moved to Chicago, when you thought, this is what I want to be, this is what I want to do, did you experience setbacks? I'm sure you did.
Other than
Lockport?
Yeah. Just the racquetball court. Yeah.
Lockport in the house. Hashtag LP. Everything that felt like a setback to me ended up being the biggest blessing I could have ever had in my life. You know, so every time I had to, you're forced with that to go, okay, my back's up against the wall. I'm in Utah. I'm totally unhappy. I know that when I am happy, I'm teaching, and especially like the classes, I'm teaching Body Jam, and I'm dancing. Like these things like give me life. Mm-hmm. And people are positively affected by that. Mm-hmm. It's like I need more of that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, I mean, uprooting yourself and just jumping into the unknown, I had no idea that any of this was going to happen for me when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up in a racquetball court teaching that didn't even have Body Jam. They only had a couple of the programs that I teach, and just like, I don't understand what is meant to be here. Mm-hmm. And it just, it kept growing. And from there, you know, I mean, a woman came in and ended up opening up a group fitness studio with the help of me. And I looked at it like, yes, this is it. You know, you think,
yeah,
I've always wanted to have my own group, like my own group fitness studio.
Right.
Like that would be an end all be all dream for a lot of us.
Yeah.
You know, and which is very, very difficult.
As it turns out, right?
As it turns out.
Yeah.
And you think the things kind of drop into your lap, and that ended up didn't come to fruition for this company and for this woman. But I held on to a lot of that because I felt like it was me that was failing from it. And just realizing that, you know, you've got to, at the same time, be able to look after yourself and know that one person's path is their path. And just because it looks like we're in it together, like, but I have my own path too. But I felt like I had hundreds of people leaning on me within that. And I had to have the strength to just say, you know, no, this isn't right. And when I did that, I went back to doing Fit Club and starting my own training business.
Yeah.
And that kept growing and growing and growing, which in turn, Les Mills recognized me for me running HIIT workouts. This was before we even had Grit as a Les Mills program. And I was able to get my foot in the door with Grit, but it was based off of the background that I had. So when I look at it, if I didn't have the courage to leave and I didn't have the courage to believe in myself and build on those five girls that I had that turned into 60 by the time that I left there, then I mean, it's just one step after another.
Yeah.
And you can look at it as a setback, or you can look at it as, okay, this is here. There's a roadblock here.
Yeah.
But I'm strong enough to get around it. The more and more I kept doing those things, they seemed less dramatic and more like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how you just get conditioned to, like, respond to things, you know? And when I'm like, ooh, gut doesn't feel right. Well, when I was younger, that used to take me so long to work through. And now I feel like, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and wiser, I guess, a little bit. But I recognize that and I'm able to respond. Plus, I have the background of going through it multiple times over and over and over, not giving up on it, but working through it.
Yeah.
So, yes, with that, you know, I decided that, you know, Fit Club was like, I had outgrown it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually, like, the coaches were so good that, like, I couldn't help them anymore.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, I don't do good just being stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, something's got to happen.
Yeah.
And those girls were like, dude, something's got to happen for you because we don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? It was like a crisis. And then I was reached out to by the lovely Sarah Rule to come to Chicago and become a group fitness manager for Chicago Athletic Clubs is what I do now.
Okay.
And then, so I do that. And then that catapulted us from moving from the DG, Downers Grove, and eventually leaving my tribe in Lockport and doing the whole uprooting thing again. I'm like, okay, this just sucks.
Yeah,
it's so hard. Yeah. It's true.
There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
And it takes time, so you need to be patient. Like, you just need to be patient and know that if you have, like, I had those, like, two or three people super close to me, like my inner circle, to help me get through it.
Yeah.
And then you start to rebuild.
Yeah.
And those friendships that I've had everywhere and those relationships, they're stronger than ever.
Yeah. I knew one of the things I wanted to ask, because our listeners often say, I've wanted to do X. I've wanted to start my own business. I've wanted to quit my job to stay home. I've wanted, you know, I mean, it runs the gamut, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the courage to do that. And I loved what you said just about, one, you have to trust your gut to know whether it's a setback, a roadblock, or like a warning sign, you know? Because you know, internally you know, so you got to wait it out and just like really become super reflective, right? And decide which one it is. But then also have the confidence to keep pushing if it's not a warning sign.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing worth doing is easy ever. I mean, there are going to be setbacks and hurdles all the time. And so I think that's the thing, is there's not really a secret other than just like trust your gut and work your ass off. You know?
Hands down. You know, I look at it as, I've always just said, you know, I just want to be like a tool, you know, a tool to just be able to reach out to people in a way where God can use me just to project my talents and however big he feels like I need to be and to help with that, then let me go there and take me there. So it's like, I always just come back to like the simplicity of it. And I think that when I know, like, I've hit it, then I'm going to know.
Yeah.
But I haven't hit that yet.
Right. Right. Yeah. So maybe
then I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
But it's, you do. You learn to recognize and then analyze it, but then you've got to give it time and be patient and it'll work itself out. Not always the way that you want it to.
Yeah.
You know, it's
when
I look at, yes, my dream was to be on a stage teaching body jam, or my end all be all goal, let's get it straight, would be to be a backup dancer for Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
So Janet, if you're out there,
you have a real shot at that.
Janet's
actually
about to have a baby. I bet she'll be listening to this podcast in a matter of weeks.
One of her backup dancers, I don't know why we all look alike, but somebody went to her concert, was like, Nikki, are you like dancing backup for Janet? And I was like, no.
Only in my dreams.
She was like, I swear to you, we were in this concert and you were on the stage. So I had to check it out and look at this girl too. And I'm like, I'm very, very flattered by the fact of that people I'm mistaken for that. So
that is awesome.
I'll just put that out into the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine that, because being a woman in the work world is hard. I would
imagine.
In the
world, period.
I'm guessing,
a woman.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm guessing that it's tough to be a woman in the fitness industry in many different ways. So can you talk to us a little bit just about that? Like, is there a certain pressure that you've ever felt to, like, be a certain way or look a certain way or kind of fit into some sort of mold?
We all have, and if you pretend like you haven't, I think you're lying. So it's very, very hard in this day and age, you know. I was brought up in a community, like the community that I was, I mean, these women were gorgeous, like always done up, always to the nines, even in workout classes, you know, and it was a very competitive, a competitive vibe between all of these women. And I was like, you know, I have that competitive nature in me. And I was like, oh, honey, you better watch out. And I would go about myself just throwing it down as hard as I could with a smile on my face. And, but in my heart, I thought, you know, my purpose is to help break that down and break that down. And it rears its head up to me in and out, you know, we're all insecure to a point. And it's just realizing that and recognizing that and being able to, I mean, that's not helping any of us.
No.
Not being, when we're focusing solely on that, you know, and when you look at, I look at my Instagram and my Facebook, and I mean, we all take pictures of ourselves and self, if you pretend like you don't take a selfie of yourself.
We're going to do one after this interview, actually. Yeah, so
I know you've got them on your phone, even if you don't post them. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is, it's like, how do you define that? Yeah. Right? Because there's nothing wrong with being comfortable and confident with who you are.
Right.
And being able to take a selfie of yourself and feeling like, you know what, I feel like I look good. And but it's, what is that voice inside of you say? You know, because if you're always searching for that and you're never pretty enough and you never look the right way, then that's a negative, toxic thing, which I feel is so prevalent out there that everything kind of gets clouded kind of by that. You know, and just being true to what is your voice as a professional and just as a woman as well. You know, if you know that, hey, I'm not very secure, then reaching out and pretending like you are, and it just doesn't come off as real to me. So it's, you've got to have a bigger voice and a bigger purpose than that. And that's where, for me, it's like, it's recognizing that. And seeing, you know, how can we be so much more better together,
right?
Instead of kind of against each other, and that's what it starts to turn people into.
Is,
especially with women. I mean, you feel it.
100% Yeah, it's like I love that. I'm just, we want to build each other up. Like it's interesting though. I think just specifically in the fitness industry, and not even just like the superficial stuff, but there is like that element of competition.
Yes.
Of like, you're in competition with yourself, maybe with like what you're challenging yourself constantly. Like it's a friendly competition is good when you're trying to, you know, better your body or your game or whatever. But we know that, like, that kind of comparison and I'm better at this, or, you know, she's better at this, like, that can be really tricky and not healthy.
But that'll never go away. Like, that'll always be there. Mm-hmm. And you've got to just, I think you've got to recognize that as well. And as long as you feel like you're confident with yourself, it doesn't mean that you're not scared as sometimes. I mean, I throw myself into situations all the time of just scaring myself. I walked into a CrossFit gym yesterday and I felt like so unfit and like the smallest person in the world. And it was, but it does so much good for you. And I would say that the experience wasn't the best. Like I didn't have a great, great experience. But then I try to look at it again. Like, okay, Nikki, like, what can you take from that? Mm-hmm. And what can you learn from the way that was it the instructor or the vibe of the community felt that I would just do it differently? Mm-hmm. Or how can I project my energy in a different way?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, you know what? Some people might vibe with that and I'm just different.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And there's a place for all of us.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah. And there's a place for everybody.
So our listeners, we know they're out there and they're like, they're exhausted, they're either at home with kids or they're working, and they just, but like, clearly the three of us believe in just being active, whatever that looks like. Leslie loves running, you know, we love these classes. It looks different for everybody, right? There are CrossFitters that listen too.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what do you say to the tired women out there who are like, I've heard that you get more energy when you're active, but I don't have the energy to get active in the first place. Like, what do they do? Where do they start?
Oh, it's tough. It is tough. I think it's just experiencing a lot of things. You got to try.
Yeah.
You know, just trying multiple different things. And you'll find something. I feel like when you're first starting off in a fitness journey, it's like you need to find something that you like, that you have fun mm-hmm. with, that makes you happy, mm-hmm. regardless of the outcome, you know, of you. You're sweating, you're smiling, you're having a good time, mm-hmm. connecting to that, mm-hmm. you know, in whatever way that is. And all of us are different, you know. Some people are going to connect more to CrossFit. Some people are going to connect more to yoga or running. And it is finding that, mm-hmm. you know. And then at the other end of it, I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. I think it's extremely important to do something that makes you feel totally, utterly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself, why? Mm-hmm. Why am I uncomfortable at this? What is it about this that gets me, like, thrown in such a tizzy when I think about dancing? Or for me, when I think about lifting a gigantic barbell over my head. Why did I? But I shut down.
And it's yeah. emotionally.
Yeah.
You're thinking, yes. like, you're emotionally afraid yes. somehow. Like, something's going on.
Totally. And yeah. when I did that, it was because I didn't feel adequate enough. It mm-hmm. wasn't the vibe of the people there. Right. It was me. I shut down.
Right.
Because I felt uncomfortable. And then I started turning it on everybody else around me. So I don't right. want to get it twisted. I right. go to this CrossFit gym all the time that I go to, and I love it. I love the experience that I get. But it is that thing that causes my belly to, like,
yeah.
turn
yeah.
for the reason of it starts to, when I get to that such an uncomfortable place, that inner talk starts saying, Nikki, you're not strong enough.
Yeah.
Nikki, you're weak. As I'm hanging on the bar. Wait, what? I'm supposed to get my chest up there?
Yeah.
All right, well, there's no way to fake this, so I'm just going to hang. I'm just gonna yeah. hang here. So, yes, that's where it is. So, for me, it's like we're all in a different place, but yeah. I think it's great. Like, I have my dance, and mm-hmm. I love to dance, and I know that. But for me, it's like doing something that's totally uncomfortable like that and mastering it. There's something else too about yeah. when you do it and you're like, oh my gosh.
Like, I never thought
I just did a push-up.
Yeah.
On my toes.
Yeah.
Like, we see that all the time in the yeah. fitness industry, and it's those celebrating those small victories.
Yeah.
You know, celebrate those small victories. And yeah. it's not always about the end results. You know, right. I've seen people who have lost 100 pounds, but then that was their goal and they didn't know what to do yeah. after that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. it's like we don't just keep lift the bar to a point where you can't get it. Like, you lift the bar till, yeah, you might be like me, just hanging on it.
Yeah.
But at least you can reach it.
Right.
And then every victory that you do, just keep raising it that much more. And that's when you're going to look back. Like, for me, I can look back to 5 years ago to where I started
yeah.
and to where I am.
Yeah.
There's no way that I could have just done that.
Right.
Looking at somebody who's never ran before. You know, it's like you've got to learn to crawl, mm-hmm. to walk, to run, to sprint, and yeah. go forward
yeah.
that way. And that's where the whole trust the journey thing comes yeah. back yeah. into play
yeah,
as well.
And so. I don't think we give enough credit to, like, what it does to the psyche when you put yourself in a position that scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Like, we don't do that enough. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm talking to myself here, too. Like, if I am not convinced that the outcome will be really good, I shy away from it pretty... I mean, it's super easy to talk me into going to Starbucks instead of working out. You know, mm-hmm. if I'm like, I've not been to that class, I don't know. I mean, I'm feeling like coffee. Are you feeling like coffee? You should probably do that. You know, because we're not trained to do that. We're trained to run around something that scares us. Mm-hmm. But then when you do it and you're able to even reach the bar, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, I want to try that again. But people don't understand that actually... There is so much empowerment in being uncomfortable initially,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I like hearing that from you. And I think, too, you know, just as you were talking about, you know, walking through the journey, but also asking your five-year-old, you know, what are you going to love? What kind of class are you going to love? What kind of things are going to scare you, you know, because mm-hmm. we're still the same person. So your five-year-old has found its way to Chicago.
Your inner five-year-old.
Your inner five-year-old has found your way to Chicago. And it's not your hometown, obviously, but you have managed to create this incredible community here. But you also, because you're a trainer internationally and you travel, you've also created this tribe of women and men from all over the world. So we constantly are encouraging our listeners to find that tribe and to lean on that tribe because it enriches our lives
so much. So we're excited, I know, to ask you about your tribe, just more specifically. So who are they? What do they do on the daily basis that really just makes life so good and so worth living?
Well, I would say you've got, like, levels of your tribe, you know, and I love when I think of that. Like, I've got my inner tribe, which would be my mom, my dad, my brother, you know, my grandma that passed away. Like, she's my little guardian angel that I feel like she follows me around everywhere. Mm-hmm. I've got Joanne, and then I've got my Lockport girls and my Utah family. So it's like, I've got this group of people, and within there, I've got, obviously, my mom and dad and Joanne that I lean on every single day.
Absolutely.
But then reflecting that out, and then I look outward of that, and as long as I'm giving my best to this inner circle, then that can radiate to the next circle, which is going to be the people that I teach when I see in classes, you know, and I get to experience that and be able to reflect my love for myself and my love for teaching onto these people that I actually get to, like, touch and see. And then that reflects out to the bigger world. So then I'll post something on Facebook about a group of people that I trained. Well, that's a reflection of who I am. So it's just this, it just keeps, like, that ripple effect. When you think of throwing a pebble into a pond and then it just ripples out. You know, when you go do, like, a DVD or you're on TV or do anything like that, it's actually very, you're disconnected from it because you do it and then it's just done. Like, you have a camera there, but you don't actually have people there. So just like this, being able to talk, it's talking from my heart, from who I am, and that potentially being able to ripple effect out. But if you're not true to who you are and being a significant person in your own life, that's how success follows you, I believe, is you've got to be significant to yourself, and then that reflects onto those inner circle, and then it just keeps rippling outward. And you can turn up and radiate that and illuminate that to more people.
I love that. I'm just picturing, like, this huge puddle, you know, and these little ripples.
But it starts with you. Like, I always have to say it comes back to me. And a lot of times that's the hardest person to work with.
Right. Or, like, check in with.
To be true to sometimes, too.
I have an internal battle with myself at least 25 times a day.
Or I'll do the same thing. Like, I'll call my mom, and she'll just be like, have you really, like, have you thought about this yet? Like, have you prayed about this? Have you really, like, have you put in time thinking about this? And I'll be like, yeah, I totally forgot. Like, I haven't even really sat and thought of, like, what I actually think about
that's
this.
Why I'm calling you. Can you just tell me what to do?
Exactly.
And I would have to say, too, in my inner circle, that I don't just have people there that only tell me how great I am. No. Like, you need people that are going to challenge you. And you need to learn from those people. A lot of times the people that I ask for feedback from are the people that I'm totally scared
to ask.
Totally scared. Insert another boop. I am frightened by them. But I'm going to ask them because they're going to give me this, a totally different opinion. And sometimes it's totally different than I preconceive it. Like, I tell myself what I think they're going to tell me, and then it ends up being different. So it's just not always going with the comfortable road, too. Like, being able to look at just people and relationships and getting feedback about your performance and from your boss or other coworkers, and not always just reaching out to those people that you're comfortable with. Yes, you need those guys because they're those ones that are, like, your team all the time. But you do need people that are just going to be honest with you and challenge you. And then you can take that feedback and derive from it what feels good to you. Doesn't mean that you have to react or respond to anything. It's like, I love to be able to go, okay, I've got all of this now. Now what sits well with me, what doesn't, and how can I balance both of that together? And just, it just makes you a more dynamic person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you are a dynamic person. I'm just like, I want to just hang out with you for the rest of, like, the day. I don't know how much
time you have. We're going to brunch after this.
Like, you're just, you're fantastic.
We always like to end or close, come close to closing anyway, with the question, because as women, we pour we empty ourselves into other people so naturally. I mean, it feels like it comes so naturally. Our friends, our family, our partners, whatever. You have two fur babies mm-hmm. that the world's obsessed with. Like, you've and then all of the people who come to your classes, like, you empty yourself there. Where do you derive energy? Like, what do you do that is just for Nikki? Totally, totally just for you.
You know, sometimes that's, honestly, that's what I'm weak at. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Is looking at it and going, okay, what do I need today? Like, I need to give back to myself. And for me, honestly, it's just, it's dancing for myself. Mm. Without, like, having a thought of what I look like. Mm-hmm. And what I feel like, and just doing it for me. You know, a lot of what we do, it's like, I'm following like a certain choreography, or I'm following a certain way that I'm supposed to say things. And it's, none of that will ever land with people. You're just going to be a robot.
Yeah.
Saying the same thing.
Yeah.
And the thing that brings it to life is you. And how I do that, it's like, that's where it is. It's like, it might be, I don't want to say go take yoga. No, I'd go take yoga because it forces me to like reflect inwardly mm-hmm. on myself and just work on those uncomfortable areas. But then also just taking something like as simple as a nap, or mm-hmm. I do love to hang out with my dogs. I am like a granny. People are like, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 29. I'm going to be 30 on Wednesday.
Oh, happy birthday.
But I'm very much an old soul. Yeah, yeah. But, so, yes, napping, eating.
And just picturing myself in Janet Jackson's backup.
Yes. Yeah. I know that I'll have it made when I watched this video on YouTube and it made my day of this lady who, she used to teach at a school. She was probably like 75. She came out and danced to Uptown Funk with the high school dance team.
It was like her retirement. What?
It was a retirement party.
It's amazing.
And she did like a head spin and totally bust out all these like freaking awesome hip hop moves.
We will link this.
Yeah.
Let's
link this.
So that, I want that to be me.
Yeah.
Because I know at the, like, looking at that, the 5-year-old would be like, Granny, you got game. You did it.
We made it.
Yeah, we made it. We made it.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
So that's the moment that I'm looking forward to. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, when I think about it, I do. And I don't want to keep coming back to it, but I will. Just play and have, like, take the seriousness out of everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we're all going to the same place, you know? It's like, we just got to enjoy it while we can.
Might as well find joy in it.
And find joy and do things that just make you happy. And for me, it is those things. Mm-hmm. But and then just giving back to myself, you know, and patting myself on the back. Being able to look myself in the mirror and say, you know what? You got this. Yeah. I talk to myself all the time.
Yeah.
And it used to be very negative. Like, very, very negative. Like, I would beat myself down a lot. And now, like, I'll look at myself in the mirror, in the car mirror, and I'll look down and I'll be like, no, you're okay. Like, you got this.
Yeah.
Like, you were born to do this.
Yeah.
No. Amen. Or I'd look at myself and say, hey, you need to take a break.
Yeah.
You need to stop. Because I won't be able to give my best to everybody if I just keep burning myself out.
Exactly. I want that last little bit. Like, we always talk about celebrate. Like, we'll call each other and over stupid things and just celebrate. Like, you got to... I got through this workout. Like, listener, if you get through your first one, call your friend and be like, I did it! You know, it's so important to celebrate the smallest of milestones.
Yeah. Totally. It's like, celebrate the small successes. And that's the... Like, that is where it starts.
Yeah.
And it might look like somebody's way ahead of you.
Right.
And, you know, but if they're only reaching for that next gig or that next thing, there's something that's missing within them because you're not truly fulfilled. You know, it's, yes, you want those opportunities to come, but it's like, stay in the moment, just be significant in what you're doing, celebrate what's going on, like, right in front of you, and it'll work itself out the way that it's meant to.
Yeah.
You know? And then when those things come, and if they do, it's like, it's just like icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Enjoy it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so
much. Thank you. This was awesome. Yeah. You can tell, probably, I'm a little, this is a great interview. But yeah, where can we find you, or where can we tell listeners to find you?
So, I am all over the world with Les Mills, so if you look up anything, I'm the chick with the short hair on any, some of the posters and that. So I'm all over Instagram, so I use my Instagram. It's just Nikki Schultz, and it's nschultz921 on there. I just use it a lot for fitness. I like to say fitness, puppies, food, and whatever the heck else.
Yeah. And you have a public Facebook page, too, that you can like and follow.
Yeah, I have a public Facebook page, yes.
So we will link to those in the show notes.
And down the road, like, I am working on some stuff, like, down the pipeline, so...
Yeah.
Yes, stay tuned. Yeah,
stay tuned.
For sure.
And Janet, if you're out there, give me a
call. You know where to find me.
Janet, you can call her for backup dancing and call us to be on the podcast. We'll just cover it all. Yeah. Mothers, today we dare you to engage the mama bear for you. Check in with that inner five-year-old. What are you doing that's making him or her proud? What can you shift in your life that will bring back that childlike wonder and deep gladness? Where have you let the world influence what you do and how you do it in a negative way? Engage in these internal reflections and then be moved to act. Remember that it might look different than the person next to you, but that's totally okay. Do it anyway. And you guys, now is the time to also find what you love doing to get active. When you tire quickly and have no energy, so does the mama bear inside you. It's so much harder to fight for injustice when we have no healthy outlet for the stress that can be brought on by justice seekers. We dare you to take the next month to experiment with activities that get you moving and your blood pumping. Grab a friend and go to coffee afterwards if that's what it takes. This can be fun. It doesn't have to be drudgery. Get a little uncomfortable and see where that leads. It might just lead you into a new tribe that's been waiting for someone just like you.
Yes! I love it. And I think, I'm thinking listeners understand why we want to move to Roy, Oklahoma. No, Roy, Utah.
And see where it all started.
That's right. Become dancers. Hang out with Janet Jackson. But no, so great. Yeah. Mama Bears, let's continue the conversation. Are you as smitten as we are with Nikki? Tell us on social media, what did you think of this episode? What do you want to learn more about? We're always looking for new suggestions of content to cover and people to interview. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, what else? Snapchat,
Instagram. I mean, our Instagram isn't as awesome as Nikki's, but it's pretty close.
Almost. I mean, almost pretty close. No, you won't be disappointed. You should totally go there. But yeah, come to our website, email us at mamabeardares@gmail.com, and be a part of this conversation. Yeah. Tell us what you're thinking. And then come back on Wednesday, because we've got a fun episode
on
Wednesday.
It's really good.
We're going to talk about hashtags and such.
And such and such. It's a great week. We're killing it this week. See you guys Wednesday.